Turn please to Luke chapter 13. 13th chapter of Luke. Reading at verse 6, Luke 13 and 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he, answering, said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. The Gospel according to John, please. Chapter 8. Fruitless life. We read of in Luke 13. John chapter 8 and verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. A hopeless death. A final reading, please, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Verse 20 of Matthew 11. Then began he, the Lord Jesus, to upbraid or to scold the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I trust that the invitation of the Lord Jesus in verse 28 will be laid hold of by some souls in this gathering tonight. I want to consider with you a fruitless life from the teaching of the Lord Jesus, and a hopeless death, and a Christless eternity. That's what we have read in Matthew chapter 11. 6 cities are mentioned in Matthew 11. It's interesting to notice them. three of them during the time of the ministry of the Lord, three of them from Old Testament times. Every one of those six cities is buried. Capernaum, where our Lord Jesus worked and lived, is now called the Brown Mound. Nothing left. All because they did not respond to the invitation. I trust in the closing of this meeting this evening, friend, which is intended of God to be for your eternal joy. That's the purpose of the gospel. God is a marvelous God. Our Lord Jesus in heaven, as he looks down upon this little audience tonight, he is a marvelous person. His great joy, as far as you're concerned, would be to give you everlasting life and give it to you tonight. That's his purpose. That's his desire. But oh, I trust that that which we have read of tonight will indeed stir your hearts. Some of you young men and young women here, may I say to you very kindly, unless you make one valiant effort, you're going to be in hell. That forever. The devil's bigger than you. Your own sin is stronger than you. And death is a king of terrors. You won't make it. Unless you heed well the words that Mr. Hull read to you from Luke 13 tonight. The words of the heart of the Son of God who knows all things. And he knows your need, he knows your danger, he knows the powers that are against us as poor sinful men. And he said, strive to enter in. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, but shall not be. And unless you, poor sinner friend in this meeting tonight, unless you make one tremendous effort to get this matter settled of your soul, you will miss it forever. In our first reading, we read of a fruitless life. The Lord Jesus speaking so solemnly. I have often thought in reading the scriptures, I would love to have heard the Lord Jesus preach. I'm afraid there would be times when this poor person would go home with a face that was white. Get down upon my knees before my God to hear coming from the lips of the Lord Jesus these solemn, solemn words. The tree planted in a vineyard. So very kindly, the object of the Master's personal care. And yet the solemn verdict had to be said by the same lips that designed its planting. Cut it down. Can I note with you that the reason for cutting this tree down is because there had been a visitation by the Master of that vineyard. And he found no satisfaction in that tree. I do not need to remind each of us tonight the teaching of that parable of the Lord Jesus. I am sure you can see what his teaching is. Here you are tonight, my dear friend. You are so well favored. God has planted you in a very particular place of favor. The fact that you're in this gospel meeting tonight is a divine favor. If God did not want you here, you couldn't have gotten here no matter how you tried. He's bigger than you. But the fact that he so very kindly has granted you the opportunity, he planted you. Every one of us in this audience tonight need to bow our hearts before the God of heaven. There is not one of us that deserve the mercy of a Bible. There is not one of us to whom God owes the privilege of a room like this to sit comfortably in and hear his word read, the word of God in which is found eternal life. Not one of us deserve it. And friend, you who tonight for these years in which you have lingered in your sin, never forget, you are planted not only in a favorable position, but with purpose. God is looking for a response, and you're not giving it. You're not saved. You've never responded. Three ways the Lord Jesus describes it in this chapter. One of them, he speaks of early in the early verses of the chapter, repentance. What is repentance? You may ask. Repentance, friend, is when the sinner, he turns from his own thinking and agrees with God. And the fruit of that may be tears of sorrow. The fruit of it may be prayers and cries for mercy. It may be. But the reason that you have never received God's salvation is you've never changed your mind. When you listen to the preaching, I know I went through it myself. Listen to my Sunday school teacher, whose face I can see in my memory just now. Many a time I saw tears on the cheek of that dear man as he leaned forward with his hands on his knees and his Bible in his hand with 9 boys before him in that class. And he looked into each of our faces with tears on his face as he pled with us to listen to the message of God for our soul's salvation. And I used to nudge the boys. And of course they nudged me too, and we'd grin at each other. And we played with gum wrappers. We tried to count how many pages in the Gospel of John. We did everything we could to avoid the tremendous fact that we failed to realize a visitation from the master of the vineyard, and there was no response. My friend, that's why you're in this gospel meeting. Dear older friend in this meeting, can I say it's no accident that you are here? God graciously has purposes of mercy for you. Don't pass them by. Visited by the master of the vineyard, he says, I've come 3 years visiting. 3 years I've come to this fig tree, looking for fruit and there is none. Cut it down. Oh, the solemnity of the revelation of the Lord Jesus in those words. Friend, they are not words of cruelty. It's a word of revelation. The Lord Jesus is showing the reason that the grace of God has come near to you and to me is with purpose. God wants you to get saved. God expects you to come in response to his word in the gospel. And you have not come. It's time, young man, you got down on your knees before God and asked him for mercy to not let you go to hell tonight. That's what you deserve. You also, my dear young lady, favorable to your parents, listening to the gospel for many years, may I say to you very kindly, the Master has visited you more than once, and you said no. I hope tonight you will see from the teaching of the Son of God, it's time that I became facing facts concerning the gospel. The gospel is not a little sucker that God's holding out to a child and giving him as a little fun gift. My friend, the gospel is dealing with an eternity that's irreversible. Dealing with a God who is unchangeable. And dealing with your soul that will never, ever, ever be annihilated. A tremendously solemn truth is in the balance of every gospel meeting. That's why Mr. Hull preached to you as he did tonight. It's a burden upon the soul, friend. Your soul tonight is of more value than anything of all the world put together. And you've not responded when the Master has visited you. Can I note how the Lord Jesus mentions there that not only is there no response to his visit, but there's no response to his mercy. The intercession of the servant said, Lord, leave it alone this year also. Give him one more year, and I'll work at him. I'll touch his conscience. I'll dig at him. I'll stir up his life a little bit. I'll make things difficult or something to try and get him to stop and face the fact that the reason he's alive is to bear fruit for God. The reason, my dear woman, dear lady, friend here tonight in this meeting, that you are alive is by divine purpose that you should bear fruit for God.
and you've borne nothing. Oh, you say, but I don't swear. I give to the missionaries also. Furthermore, I do go to church. And I've learned the Ten Commandments. What do you mean I bear no fruit? The Lord Jesus explains what the fruit is. The fruit is repentance and obedience to the gospel. And my friend, as long as you listen to the preaching of the Word of God and say, well, I have my own thoughts about that, you are unrepentant and disobedient. The gospel, friend, shows that man is a sinner, so totally lost, so absolutely lost, he could not be worse off than he is. As a sinner, none of us could be worse off than we are by our natural birth. Yes, you could act worse than you do. So could I. That's not the question. You could not be worse off because you are a sinner by birth. Oh, friend, this night will you look at this very, very solemn picture? No response to the mercy of God and of the Master. And there's no response to the digging. See the fertilizing of the tree? Look in your little history tonight. I'm thinking of some of you here who sat through the meetings in Fairview when the Spirit of God was moving. And my friend, when God is moving, that's the time to get in on it. Whatever you do, you take notice to the fact that when God is pleased to sovereignly come near to a place and begin to move on the hearts of men and women, young and old, and they receive the gospel, and their soul is thus saved for eternity from the judgment their sins deserve. That's the time to get in on it. And you're doing nothing. I know not whether there are those in this meeting tonight, and you've said perhaps in your mind before you ever came to the meeting, no, you didn't tell Mom and Dad. You're too polite to say that, aren't you? I hope you are. But is it not true as it was in mine, so it is in your heart? Not again. Again tonight. And when they ask you at school, you know, will you go to us down to the so-and-so tonight? Well, you know, no, I'm busy tonight. What are you doing? Well, you know, we're going to church. Shame on you, friend. Shame on you. The mercy of the touch of God, and you're not responding. Beware. A fruitless life. The tree is cut down. A hopeless death. Notice the language of our Lord Jesus. Oh, friend, I wonder sometimes at the feeling of his holy heart as he spoke those words. How solemn it must have fell from his lip, and with what feeling, when he said to the people, ye shall seek me, and shall not find me. Ye shall die in your sins. And whither I go, ye cannot come. Hopeless death. Our Lord Jesus shows a future search by many, many people. I wonder what that will ever be like. I do not have the time to tell you the details of an account when another brother and myself had meetings in a certain place, and there were three boys that were not responding to the gospel. God so very graciously came into their lives in a very remarkable way and reminded them of the Lord's coming. And they thought it had happened because the radio announcer said it had. Why he ever said that, no one will ever know. But I'd like to tell you, it shook those boys. And can I say to you kindly here tonight, my friend, one of these days the radio announcer's going to say it, and it's going to be true. And I'd like to say to you, my dear young man, if you've never looked at John 3:16 on your knees before, you'll look at it then. The Lord Jesus says so. Ye shall seek me. Oh, I wonder, whatever will it be? Yes, my dear father, now is the time for your eyes to weep, and you also, my dear mother. When I see a young man who sat in gospel meetings with an open Bible by the side of his bed, tears dripping from his cheek to the page of God's words, he seeks the Lord Jesus, but he will not be found. Oh, the solemnity of it. Future search. Futile search. There's no Savior to be found. Die in your sins. Oh, the tremendous awfulness the Lord Jesus expresses. I've written it here beside that little verse, a fearsome moment. Oh, the awfulness of that moment when a man dies in his sins. Oh, the darkness of dying in sin. My friend, the Bible describes death for a sinner as a fearsome darkness. I do not mean now just an emotional thing. It's the darkness of eternal banishment from light and good and God and Christians forever. In one moment, Brother Albert and I walked over in the mall to go to a store today, and a man fell on the floor with a heart attack. They rushed to his side. They laid him on a bench. The poor man was sick in more ways than one. They very quickly brought oxygen to that dear man. We did not wait to see the last of it. But I'd like to tell you, I thought to myself, oh God, make the text I must read tonight very real to these people. If you die in your sins, oh, what would it be, young man, for you to die with your history? A sinner before God. What will it mean, young woman, for you to die in your sins? Sins are like a leech. They will cling to you. They will not let go. You will not be able to rid yourself of one of them. Every sin of your history will cling to you as you go over the boundary into the awful abyss of darkness, never to be heard of again. Oh, awfulness, to die in sins. Our Lord Jesus describes it in other passages in its fearsomeness as he speaks of the loneliness of men who die in their sin. Ah, friend, tonight you are surrounded by loved ones. You are surrounded by them whose prayers right now are going up to God. Oh, God, my son, make him hear it. My daughter, make her hear it, oh, God. My friend, may I say, when you go into the awful reality of dying in your sins, there will not be a voice to reach your ear. Never will anyone breathe into your ear again that beautiful word of John 3:16, wherein is found eternal life for you tonight. If you die in your sins, a hopeless death. Looking into the eyes of a dear lady, as I sat by her hospital bed, told I could have 5 minutes at the most, with an oxygen tent over her in that time. And as I lifted that oxygen tent just a little, I don't know if I was supposed to or not. The nurse didn't stay, and I don't suppose I was, but I wanted to get as close to that woman so she would hear everything. I opened my little Bible and read to her John 3:16, and I did not know what to say. I said, oh God, all I can do is read it. And I read it again. Every word that came out of my mouth, listen, young man, I don't want to visit your side. God graciously preserve me from saying the wrong thing tonight. But I dread looking into the faces of men that are dying and having to read them the word when they don't have a sufficient mental ability to even grasp it. And that woman hung on every word that came out of my mouth. She watched my lips. She wasn't looking at my eye. She was watching my lips forming the words of John 3:16 and hung on every one of them. I don't know how many times I read it. I only read the verse over and over and over and over. As the nurse tapped me on my shoulder and I went away, when I went out that door, I can see that woman's eyes yet. They were fixed on me like they were out of her head. She was watching, yearning to take a hold of something. Why? Because before I was on the first floor, she was gone. Die in your sins. As I close the meeting, can I note with you Christless eternity? I read that passage to show the concern of the Lord Jesus. He's speaking to people on whose streets he walked. Just like in your home, when his word is opened. Friend, you'll never get the Lord Jesus any closer than in this book. His very picture is here, his very words are here, his very voice is here. And as he speaks to you tonight, he's in that very word. Whatever you do, turn to it, sinner. Turn to the book. It's your only hope of finding Christ. In turning to that precious book, it's the appeal of your heart. Oh, blessed God, I need Christ. I need him tonight. Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My those words echo in my heart tonight, my friend. A Christless eternity is a restless eternity. He's the only one that can give you rest. Rest from that burden of conscious guilt as a sinner to take it away from you forever. Rest from the awful reality of death in your sins. Oh, praise God, he could deliver you from that. Christless eternity is a restless eternity. The Lord Jesus shows in that passage as well that a Christless eternity is an eternity without the Word of God. Chorazin, oh Bethsaida, oh Capernaum, oh Chorazin, how the Lord Jesus pled with them, if the mighty works that were done in you, friend, in your sin tonight, you young man and young lady, if the things that have been done in your life had been done in the life, can you imagine, of Sodom, they would have repented. That is a tremendously revealing statement to show that sin has hardened your heart so badly, you've been so deceived. Young man, if you ever try to get salvation, you're going to find out one thing. I am a hard-hearted sinner. Harder than you ever realized. Should have been saved years ago. When you were young. When God first touched you and you remember it. Well, may you bow your knee tonight and confess to God, oh God, I was a fool in my sin, that I did not come while the Savior called. Can I say to you kindly tonight, there is a golden opportunity as we close this meeting at this moment. The Lord Jesus is saying still, the door is still open. Come. Come just as you are with all your history. Marvelous love, isn't it? That the Savior whom you have slighted, he invites you to come just as you are. He makes all the changes. He does all the saving. He does all the giving. He has all the power to save your soul. Change your life, to give the fruitfulness that he's searching for. He is the giver. The moment you turn to him, that's turning away from your own ideas, turning away from your own pattern and goals of life. Turn to Christ. And the moment you turn to him, he says, I give rest. You'll have it and you'll know it. All because of Calvary. He purchased it, paid the full price. Nothing remains for you to do to take him at his word. Respond tonight. Come as a sinner to Jesus. Let us pray. Our God in heaven, thou hast been so merciful, so kind, so patient, so gracious with every one of us in this room tonight. There is not one of us who can boast of anything within ourselves. If it were not for thy goodness, none of us would be here. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus tonight. Praise thee that the finished work of Calvary has laid the basis for this beautiful, precious, blessed invitation that peals forth to mankind once again another opportunity. Come unto me. Oh God, we trust there are souls who will be afraid to leave their chair tonight till they come to Christ. Oh, the awfulness of going away with the words of the Lord Jesus ringing in their ear. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Oh God, the wasting of a life that was intended to bear fruit for God. There are those who are older in this meeting tonight, and they have never yet responded to thy gospel.
Oh God, we ask Thee to graciously cause them to face the tremendous fact of a Christless eternity and a hopeless death. Oh God, how solemn. We wish sometimes we didn't have to close. We wish sometimes we didn't have to go away. When we look into the faces of men, our equals, and it could be our last appeal to them. So we leave Thy word in their ear. Pray that they will respond even before they leave their chair tonight, knowing Christ is mine. I came as a sinner to Jesus. Oh, how precious. We ask Thy blessing upon Thy word in the Lord Jesus' worthy name. Amen. 59, please. Hymn number 59. Is there a heart that is waiting, longing for pardon today? Hear the glad message proclaiming, Jesus is passing this way. We'll sing verse 2 and verse 4 of hymn number 59. Remember the meetings if our Lord has not returned, Thursday and Friday evening at 8 o'clock. And do remember the prayer meeting that follows. We need to cry to God. The Spirit of God is speaking, but I want to tell you the devil's a busy person. And he's busy in this room tonight, seeking to steal from men the word of truth. I trust that God will very graciously exercise us to increase our efforts in prayer. Verses 2 and 4 of hymn number 59.